shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Hi, good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. Now, we've got a man today who I would hazard a guess is even more controversial than I am at times. His name is Andre Walker. He's a columnist for the New York Observer, often on the TV as well, giving out his views. And as I say, he shoots from the lip, and I'm delighted to say Andre joins me now.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, Andre.
John, this is my first time appearing on this show. I'm absolutely delighted to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you as well. Look, you've been shooting from the lip all week about Begum, this so-called jihadi bride. Tell me what you think should happen.
Well, first of all, the most important thing is to remember the real victim in this, which is the baby. The baby is a British citizen. It's currently being raised by a terrorist in a camp where two of its siblings have already died of malnutrition. We need to take potentially military action to get the baby back to the UK so it can be put up for adoption and looked after properly. In terms of Begum herself, look, the reason why she is stateless is because her terrorist organisation was defeated. And now she wants to come back to the United Kingdom to get on the social. I don't think that's appropriate. Now, I agree with Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary, who is saying that she doesn't have a British passport anymore because she's a dual national. Now, John, it's important to remember something. You know, we're not just wielding this problem onto Bangladesh, where she is a citizen. Remember, she wants to come to Britain to get on the social. Bangladesh does not have the same social security system as the United Kingdom, so I can confidently predict that she will not go there.
Yeah, you say that. Let's just go back to the baby. Military action to bring back the baby. And why do you say the baby is British? The baby, surely, Andre, if she's Bangladeshi, as you're putting forward, and the husband is Dutch, he's got nothing to do with us either.
No, I think the important thing is the baby is a British citizen. Remember, nobody disputes that Shamima Begum was born in the UK, lived in the UK, and was a British national. She's had her nationality stripped because she is a terrorist and has supported a terrorist regime. By the way, she's married to somebody who is at best a terrorist as well, and probably at worst a war criminal. Now, she is somebody who is guilty of wrongdoing, and it's right that we take strong action against her. But the baby is entirely innocent. Now, what she wants to do is come to the United Kingdom so she can get a council house and live on the social for the rest of her life. What we need to be saying is, this baby should be forcibly adopted if necessary. And when I say about military action, what I'm talking about potentially is the SAS going in and retrieving the baby. I think it's important that we stand by the principle of looking after our genuine, innocent citizens, but we also stand by the principle that if you are a terrorist, you get nothing from us.
Would you give the baby to her parents as they wish?
Well, there are question marks related to the father, because he has been pictured with Anjan Chowdhury, who, just in case people don't know, is somebody else who was convicted of terror offences. Now, whether the parents are appropriate, I think, is a matter for social services and the family court. I don't think, John, you and I can make that decision. But what's important is to look at all the evidence and make a decision on that basis. Look, as far as I'm concerned, if the father is a supporter of Anjan Chowdhury and she, the daughter, is a terrorist, then actually, this is a forcible adoption case. But of course, that is for the family court to decide. That is the appropriate place.
OK, now you talk about her. What do you say to what I call the snowflakes, the bleeding heart liberals, who say, listen, this girl was only 15. She was groomed. We should take that into consideration. She's been brainwashed.
Well, she has never made that claim. And she has expressed absolutely no regrets whatsoever. I mean, if you're going to say that this is a person who is an innocent victim, then perhaps it's for her to make that claim rather than people saying it in the UK. Look, she's unapologetic. The reason she wants to come back to the UK, I repeat, is her terrorist organisation has been defeated. If it had not been defeated, she would have been delighted to remain where she was. Now, by the way, John, I think it's important to nail this terrorist point because I think people misunderstand it. In the United Kingdom, the definition of a terrorist is somebody who joins or supports a terrorist organisation. The action that she undertook in Bethnal Green of joining the Islamic State makes her, by definition, a terrorist. And so, you know, what she has done is completely unacceptable. Now, you know, in terms of should we take pity on her, we should take pity on the people of Syria and Iraq who were brutalized by this fascist regime. Remember, beheading people in the streets and putting their heads on spikes. It is some of the most disgusting and genocidal behavior that we have seen in modern world history. She was absolutely a part of that, and so she should get nothing from us.
I agree with you entirely. I mean, it is like, you know, the Nazis when it comes to Islamic State. And, you know, imagine in the Second World War, would we have let anybody come back here who had been fighting for the Germans? I mean, it took us long enough to execute Lord Haw-Haw. Fair enough. Take your point on that. But how much of this is Sajid Jafri playing to the gallery? He knew very well that she probably had dual nationality. And I'm not particularly that bothered about her anymore. I'm worried about the other 800. I'm worried about the 400 who are already back here. Surely we need a law, a proper law of treason in the UK.
Yes, and of course the stupidity is when all those people like Lord Haw-Haw, who you mentioned, were convicted of treason, actually they weren't. They were convicted under the 1940 Treachery Act, which has subsequently been repealed. The Treason Act in the United Kingdom is dysfunctional. It creates a capital crime of treason, which can only be enforced during war. But of course, we've abolished capital punishment. So, you know, it is a dysfunctional law that the government should have dealt with. Now, in terms of Sajid Javid, look, I think there is an element, because he's a Muslim himself, of having to be tough on this to prove that British Muslims are not supporters of terrorism. I believe that potentially he will fail in the courts and Shamima Begum will be allowed back to the UK. But isn't it right, as you talked about those jihadis that have come back, remember, only 1 in 8 of them have even been arrested.
Absolutely.
A far smaller number are in prison. You know, isn't it right that we make it difficult for them? And in the past, we've not done this. And Sajid Javid has come in and said, you know, maybe I will fail in court. Maybe she will be allowed back into the UK. But goodness me, we're not sending anybody to pick her up, and we're not going to be helpful.
Yeah, I take on board all of that. But the point I'm trying to make is, we've had this situation since 9/11, 7/7. Why haven't politicians of all party got a grip on this so that when these people do disappear from Luton, Huddersfield, Bradford, my home city of Coventry, we do say, you will lose your British passport, you are not coming back?
Well, I mean, it's difficult because of our commitments to ensuring that people aren't stateless. But look,
Who cares if they become stateless? They're terrorists.
Well, yes, we've got treaty obligations. Now, in terms of what you're saying, I agree with the principle of it. I think the solution to this is really simple. What we need to say is, we need to say that the Islamic State itself is a state, and that is the country that you live in. And therefore, that just makes it very easy. When you join it, you become a citizen of that state, and you're out of the UK, never to return. Now, here is the big question we need to ask ourselves. Look, realistically, the police and the security services do not have the resources to follow 800 people. You know, what is being done with this lot? You know, these are now trained fighters. These are people who are veterans of a war against a professional army in both Syria and Iraq. And we don't seem to have any grip on them at all. Now, I repeat the comment that I made before, John. Joining a terrorist organization is a criminal offense in the United Kingdom. Remember, a huge number of people from the IRA and UVF went to prison not for committing any atrocities, but rather for being a member of a proscribed organisation, a terrorist organisation. Let's enforce that law.
I think many people would agree with you. You're listening to Sputnik International, Shooting from the Lip, with me, John Gaunt, and my special guest today, New York Observer, columnist, and all-round social commentator, Andre Walker. Andre, I've been amazed as well about how angry people are and the language on Twitter about this woman. It's a tinderbox. If this woman comes back, do you think there could be real trouble on British streets?
Well, the police are concerned about two things. Is she a lightning rod for jihadis in the UK? Potentially. She is an unapologetic terrorist. And by the way, what you said earlier, you know, people are suggesting that she's an innocent victim. She's made no such claim. But also, I think there is another concern that she might be assassinated. Now, of course, many of your listeners are going to think to themselves, well, wouldn't it be fine if she was to die? We can't allow that level of criminality. We can't allow people committing extrajudicial killings. So look, You know, this is somebody who is going to cost many millions of pounds to monitor and secure. And I just think that, you know, I don't understand, John, why people feel so strongly about her coming back. I get the principle of justice. I get the principle of rule of law. But come on. You know, this, the Islamic State regime was absolutely vile and disgusting. She left the UK when she was 15. Firstly, that is an age for when you can be prosecuted for a crime. You know, she's not seven. There is absolutely no evidence whatsoever that she is apologetic. All that's happened is her organisation got beaten and she's now trying to work out what taxpayer teeth to suckle from in the future.
OK, you don't think she should come back, she shouldn't be allowed back, but you do think she will end up back in Blighty.
Yes, I mean, what my preference potentially is to push her on, so to take the passport, put her on trial in the UK for terrorism. If she's found not guilty, deport her. And if she's found guilty, stick her in prison and then deport her afterwards.
And lock her up for a long time?
Well, John, that is not what's happened thus far with Islamic State terrorists. But I do think that Sajid Javid is getting serious on that.
Do you also think maybe it's really odd because there's another woman who's pregnant and wants to get back into Germany. There's two who want to get into the United States of America. I think one into the Netherlands. A cynic might say this is part of Islamic State's next tactic to fight us, that they're going to send in these women. They're sending in the sleepers. Nigel Farage talked about this when Merkel let all those migrants in, 1.2 million, without even vetting them. Do you think there might be an element of truth in that?
Well, let's look at this sensibly. You know, these people have not apologised. These people have not said that they've changed their ways. The reason they've been displaced is their organisation has been defeated. But remember, it hasn't surrendered. And so who these people are and what they can do, I think, is a major question. I know that the head of MI6 was saying that Shamima Begum potentially has a huge amount of knowledge of terrorism and military action. You know, she was married to quite a senior Islamic State fighter. You know, you are importing people who are effectively veterans of a terrorist war, potentially very well trained. Also, you know, a lot of these guys, and admittedly, Shamima Begum is not one of them because women don't tend to fight in the Islamic State. But the guys are veterans. They are professional soldiers. They've been professionally trained and they've been paid. And you know what? That's not the sort of person you want wandering around.
I agree entirely. Now, we're going to talk about Donald Trump in the second half of the show, but let's just bring him in on this final bit on this part of the discussion. Donald Trump says, look, you've got to take these people back, you lot in Europe, because if you don't, I'm going to let them go and they're going to permeate through Europe. It's a serious warning, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think we've been deeply unfair to the Americans because what we've done is we've taken no action against homegrown terrorists and then we've complained about Guantanamo Bay. Now, nobody has ever claimed that Guantanamo Bay is a perfect solution. The big problem the Americans have got is they've rounded up a big load of terrorists and they fundamentally don't know what to do with them. Now, I don't think that we should wash our hands of these terrorists. I think it is right that we take their citizenship away where we can, but equally, you know, we should be locking them up. What Donald Trump is not suggesting is that these people come back to Europe and, you know, walk around the streets scot-free. What he's saying is your judicial system has got to take action here. And it's not for America to do this. You know, America has a law where anyone who commits terrorism anywhere in the world is guilty of an offence in America. But there's only so many British people they can scoop up and stick in prison in America. There comes a point when our police and our judicial system have to get serious.
But you know as well as I do that our judiciary is not in that position. This woman will probably go to court, will hear the bleating of the human rights lawyers, they won't find enough evidence, and she'll be back on the street. Only 40 prosecutions so far from the people who have already returned. We had a big debate last day of Parliament, the time before last, which were about the two jihadis who were related to Jihadi John. The British Parliament didn't want to send them to America in case they got the death penalty. That's what we're up against, Andre.
Well, I mean, John, what do you want me to say to that? You're absolutely right. I mean, we have not been serious about this. Now, do we need to reform the Treason Act? I think we do. Re-implement the Treachery Act? I think we do. But also, prosecutors need to put forward a case. And what they've done so far is they've said, you know, if these people have not committed atrocities, we're not going to take any action. Well, look, you know, if you've murdered someone in a different country, clearly it is for that country's judicial system to deal with it. All I say is the act of joining the Islamic State before you leave is in of itself a terror offence and it should be prosecuted.
And I agree with that. You're listening to Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, special guest today from the New York Observer, the columnist Andre Walker. He's not holding back. Don't you dare go away, because in the second half of the show, we'll talk about some domestic policies. Is there going to be the end? Is this the beginning of the end for two-party politics? What about these Labour splits? What about the Tory splits? What about Nigel Farage's new Brexit party? Has politics in this country suddenly got interesting? And we're going to talk more about Donald Trump and, of course, especially his wall. And I'm going to be saying, I think Donald Trump is doing a great job. Don't dare go away. This is The John Gaunt Show. This is Shooting from the Lip on Sputnik International with Andre Walker, back in just a couple of seconds.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here.
Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, Shooting from the Lip.
You're back with Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International. My special guest today, New York Observer columnist Andre Walker. Let's move to the domestic agenda. What do you make of all these splits in Labour and the anti-Semitism? Do you believe Labour are going to split into two different parties? Parties, Andre.
Well, I think it's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, this anti-Semitism round. Now, you know, normally politicians have a tendency to bleat about things quite unfairly. But it's very clear that Luciana Berger, the MP in Liverpool, has had significant hassle from the far left. And obviously, they want to take action on it. Now, where I am pretty angry is this is yet another example of people being obsessed with Europe. The real reason these guys have walked away is that Jeremy Corbyn is unwilling to basically keep us in the EU against the result of the referendum. And obviously, there's been a couple of Conservatives in name only who have also defected to this independent group. Look, I think there does need to be a realignment in British politics. You know, fundamentally, a Thatcherite like me agrees with parts of the Conservative Party and also with UKIP. And I think it makes a lot more sense to put people like Jacob Rees-Mogg in with Nigel Farage than it does to keep the Conservative Party as it is. The issue, of course, John, is this, that the electoral system in the United Kingdom makes it very, very difficult for multiple parties to exist. And so fundamentally, what very often happens is these breakaway parties end up losing seats, independents end up losing seats. And so the system itself pushes you in a two-party direction. Now, we all remember what happened in the 1980s when the Labour Party split. Look, fundamentally, it took some time, but the SDP, the Social Democratic Party, did fizzle out. And fundamentally, I just don't think our system is such that you can have anything other than a two-party system.
OK, understand that. But do you think this is the end of Corbyn's ambition to get into number 10? Is he really badly wounded by the 7 going, or 8 as it is now? And there's going to be more. There's rumours it could be up to 50. Are you relieved, if you believe that, that Corbyn now has moved away from power?
Well, I think the extraordinary thing, of course, is that Corbyn enjoys almost no support whatsoever amongst his members of parliament. I mean, Theresa May faced a no-confidence motion, but at least she did secure the majority of MPs. The Labour Party has a different system. But, you know, look, is Corbyn going to be the Prime Minister? I think we had significant concerns at one stage that potentially was going to happen. I think the real issue here is that whilst Labour has picked up a lot of disenfranchised, particularly younger people, and very often they're not reflected in the poll numbers, by the way, and that's true, by the way, of Donald Trump as well. You know, a lot of his voters are kind of first-time voters who had previously been disengaged. But I just think that he's lost the middle ground. And you know what? Having worked in politics for quite a long time, you know, a lot of British people, whichever way you look at it, are what I call duty voters. They will vote for who they believe is the most competent person to be Prime Minister. Now, Theresa May has had a lot of problems. There's no doubt about that. But I think she has demonstrated a competency that people quite appreciate. Corbyn, on the other hand, is just a mess.
Do you think there'll be more defections from the Tory party? Do you think that Theresa May is going to get what I think is a lousy deal through? Or do you think we're going to leave, how do they describe it, with a no-deal scenario, crashing out? I'm quite happy about that because I want us to trade on WTO terms. Your views?
Well, you know, I mean, in terms of crashing out or no deal, I think no deal is the obvious way to go. I think, you know, it's nothing to be afraid of. The problem is people are afraid of it. Now, in terms of defections with Theresa May, I think the big question comes, with Oliver Letwin and Dominic Grieve. Both of them are standing down at the next election, both former cabinet ministers, both essentially pretty loyal to the Conservatives, but in recent times have voted against the government on Europe-related stuff. You know, I don't know which way they jump or if they're going to jump at all, but I don't think there'll be a huge number of defections. I'll tell you the reason why. The Conservative Party is pretty united and hardy. It's often said that their number one aim is to get into government. So they tend to like sticking together. And also, you know, the Conservative Party, and I was a member for many years, is kind of like a tribe. You know, it is a broad church. People don't tend to like leaving it. So I don't think we'll see many defections, frankly.
Do you think Theresa May is going to get her deal through? And what do you think about the attitude of the EU during this whole process? And why aren't we out already? It's 2.5 years ago, Andrew.
Well, I think that the Irish government has behaved absolutely abominably. Look, you know, fundamentally, they are risking a war in Northern Ireland. Nobody believes in sticking up a hard border. Even in the 1970s, the border in Ireland was a counter-terrorism operation. It wasn't about smuggling. There's really no interest in that whatsoever. Look, in terms of Theresa May, what Theresa May needs to remember fundamentally is this. Yes, Northern Ireland trades with the Republic. Yes, it is an important market for Northern Ireland, but it is dwarfed by the economic relationship with the rest of the UK. And what you are talking about in this backstop is, okay, there is no border in Ireland, but there is a border within the United Kingdom. Firstly, that is wholly unacceptable to the DUP. And secondly, you know, it makes no sense whatsoever to cut off, what is it, 2/3 of their exports and imports, namely between Northern Ireland and GB, the rest of the United Kingdom.
So how do you think it's going to play out?
Well, there is an important thing that I think people have generally forgotten. When Gina Miller went to the Supreme Court, she forced the government to leave the European Union by Act of Parliament. So these people who are saying that you can cancel Brexit by cancelling Article 50 are wrong. The Solicitor General, Robert Buckland, recently stood up in Parliament and said, look, royal prerogative has now been removed. The only way that you can stay in the EU is by Act of Parliament. And this is the bit I think a lot of listeners across the world will forget. Remember, at the moment, a law has been passed for Britain to leave the European Union on the 29th of March with no deal. Now, I don't know whether Theresa May will get a deal through before that, but the current situation is we just go, and there is no way that an Act of Parliament will come in to remain. And equally, there appears to be significant divisions on an Act of Parliament over the withdrawal agreement. You know, some people are saying Theresa May is deliberately just running down the clock.
Yeah.
I don't believe that, but the clock is ticking.
So, OK, that makes us move on to Nigel Farage and the new Brexit Party. Record numbers signing up. I know that you know the man well. Is it a serious threat, obviously not to get into power, but to become the kind of protest party that UKIP became when they got 4 million votes and forced Cameron's hand to have this EU referendum?
Well, I think the issue with Nigel Farage is he doesn't fundamentally know what to do. If we delay leaving the European Union, remember, there are European elections on the 23rd of May. Now, I mean, I think it would be pretty ridiculous to elect British MEPs, but we might be in that position. So clearly Farage needs to be positioned. What has happened with UKIP is just a joke. They have absolutely burnt the political party. But clearly it is only prudent that Farage is ready just in case there is a European election on the 23rd of May. I mean, you know, Nigel Farage, who is a good friend of mine, you know, is fundamentally exhausted. He wants to retire. But, you know, he is the man basically that has pushed through Brexit. And at this stage, he's got to be ready if politicians renege. Now, John, I'll be totally honest with you. I do not believe we're going to remain in the European Union. I think the risk is that we, you know, end up in a situation like Norway, where we're effectively governed by the EU without having any power. But, you know, we are going to leave. But I think it's right that Farage is ready to put the pressure on. It may well be that this political party is not needed, but it's right that it's been established anyway.
It's also very interesting how many people have signed up. But let's just go back to a comment you made. You say UKIP have burned. What do you mean by that? And are you anti-Batten? And what do you think of the Tommy Robinson involvement?
Well, look, Tommy Robinson often makes good points. But remember something else about him. He is a convicted criminal, you know, who led street protests. You know, whatever you think about some of the things that Tommy Robinson said, he is an inappropriate person to to effectively be on the governing body of a political party, just as anyone who is a convicted criminal who's been sent to prison multiple times would be inappropriate. I think the problem with UKIP is they're obsessed with the far right nowadays. Look, what UKIP was always about fundamentally was, you know, middle-of-the-road Tories who want to leave the EU and old Labour people who are constitutional conservatives. You know, there's never been a place for ex-BNP people in UKIP, or at least there wasn't before. Now there is. You know, remember, OK, you gain some support by engaging with Tommy Robinson, but you lose far more.
So, UKIP are dead and buried. What about a party for the right? And I'm not talking about far right, because a lot of people are disillusioned with the Tories. Where do those people go?
Well, I think the significant problem with the Conservatives is related to candidate selection. You know, the central party has an awful lot of power. If you look at Sarah Wollaston and Heidi Allen, the two MPs that defected, or two of the MPs that defected, you know, they're not really Conservatives in any meaningful sense. They've pretty much voted against the government on absolutely everything. As a loyal Conservative, what I say is that the party needs to give far greater control to local members to select the sort of people that they want to represent them, rather than, you know, what the Conservative Party's been doing recently.
OK, which is, let's now talk about the swamp. I want to go to Trump in just a few moments, but before that, you know, people are saying politics is broken, democracy is broken. We've got our own swamp here. Can that change?
Well, look, we've just voted to leave the European Union. Now, look, I appreciate that is a difficult process, but this is democracy in action. People are taking back control of their country, and I think that's a great thing. Now, you know, British government is not particularly good, but when was that ever not true? You know, the British people are what is the driver of this country, not the government, and they're taking control.
OK, let's go to Trump, talking of taking control. What do you make of what he's doing with the wall, or being stopped doing with the wall by the Democrats, and indeed members of his own party? Are you with him on that?
Absolutely. I mean, the ludicrous thing about America is that they effectively have two immigration systems. They have one that exists on paper that is never enforced, and another one that actually happens. The truth of the matter is they need to secure their southern border. It is completely porous. And the idea that what you do is allow people into America and then deal with them afterwards, it's plainly unsatisfactory. You know, the solution to this is to ensure that immigrants are stopped at the border. That is what Donald Trump's doing. You know, and this wall of hate, it is utterly ridiculous. The truth of the matter is it is appropriate for you to have an immigration system that you enforce and to have border security. Why on earth that is a controversial point in America? Oh, and by the way, Gaunty, you know that Donald Trump is often castigated as a racist. Remember, he's not proposing to deport illegal migrants. He's proposing to deport illegal migrants who've also committed serious crimes. If you were to propose that in the United Kingdom, you'd be castigated as a socialist. You know, he is absolutely moderate on this issue. You know, it's sensible. You've got to protect your borders, particularly from foreign criminals.
A country without borders is not a nation. I agree with that. Midterm report then for Trump. How's he doing? And do you think he'll get re-elected?
I think he'll definitely be re-elected. Look, I think he's doing a good job. I think that he is belligerent. I think that his style is something that we in Britain don't particularly like. I mean, our head of state, the Queen, would never take to Twitter in the way that he does. But all I would invite people to do is to watch the press conferences at the White House, where you can listen to the moderate and sensible policies that are coming out. Look, Donald Trump softens people up by being belligerent, but actually the policies of that government are some of the best in recent history in America.
So will he go down as a great president?
Well, no, I don't think so, because people, you know, some people absolutely hate him. But I think what he's doing warrants him being remembered as a great president.
Andre Walker, it's been fascinating talking to you, and I love the way you didn't hold back. You really shot from the lip. You have been listening to Shooting from the Lip with me, John Gaunt, on Sputnik International, with my special guest today from the New York Observer. He's a columnist, he's a social commentator, Andre Walker. We'll be back next week with another guest who'll be giving it large, because that's what this show is all about. Thanks for listening. This has been Shooting from the Lip, Sputnik International, with me, John Gaunt. Thanks a lot.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.